This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
What's up, guys? Welcome to The Sesh. Today, I got a special guest. Can you please introduce yourself and let everybody know what you do?
Of course. So I am Lourdes Vela. I go by Lulu. So most people don't even know that Lourdes is my name, which is crazy. I have longtime friends that are like, you are who? but I am an attorney here in the RGB. I practice all over the state of Texas. Main focus is personal injury, but we do a lot of family law and wills and estates.
Okay. So being a lawyer, a young lawyer, That seems like a pretty stressful job. Why would you go into something like that?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's actually really funny. Growing up, my whole entire life, literally since the age of 3, my mom got diagnosed with cancer when I was 6. So I was like, I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to cure cancer. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be a doctor. And my whole family knew this. Everybody knew this. I was a super nerd, would Google things as a kid, look up diseases. Got into college, and in college, mandatory UTPA made you take 2 political science courses. Fell in love. I was like, wow, I love this. And I went home and I was like, Mom, I'm gonna change my major, but don't worry. I'm still gonna get my prereqs, still gonna go to medical school. Took a class, with a professor named Professor Gleason. Owe a lot to you, Professor Gleason, if you're watching. I consider him a mentor. He was also a lawyer. First day of class, he said, I want everybody to raise their hands, whoever wants to go to law school. And I think the whole class raised their hands, except me. I was like, not me. I'm going to medical school. I'm just here for fun. And he was like, I'm going to ask it again at the end of the class and see what happens, because I'm going to teach this course as if it was a law school class. It's gonna be Socratic method. You're gonna be briefing, outlining, one test, one grade. I was like, Socratic, what? Who is that? I had no idea what that even meant, which I came to learn is when, you know, they call you out and it's just all questions to the students. We took a midterm, so he ended up giving us 2 tests, put the grades on the projector. Everybody failed and there was 1 A.
Wow.
And so he starts passing out. And mind you, I am a nerd. Like, I'm type A, want all A's. So I'm like about to cry. I'm like, ay, 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 Dios mío. Yeah, I failed. So he passes out the booklets and I'm scared to open it. And I open it and I had the A.
Wow.
So he ends up becoming my mentor and he's like, I think you can do this. I really believe you have the gift to be able to do this. So from then on, I said, okay, well, let's see. Maybe I'll change my mind. Took more courses, went back home and was like, Mom, I'm going to be a lawyer. And she had a meltdown.
Wow.
She was like, no. I think it was like an identity crisis, not even for me, but for her, because mm-hmm. she was like, your whole life you said doctor, and now all of a sudden you're a lawyer. She's like, I don't think so. You need to think about it. And yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah, I almost feel like you have to explore all those things. And I think, and this is why I wanted to get you on a podcast, because I have a 14-year-old little girl, right?
Yes.
And I feel that there's not a lot of mentors out there. There's not a lot of role models out there. And I know this because I try to look for them all. And for one, they don't have time and they're too busy, right? So I get it. I understand. But at the end of the day, it's like it's very hard to find mentors. So what you're doing, you seem like you got your life together. You have a good social media presence. Well, what everybody sees, right?
Yeah.
You're obviously a lawyer. You're successful, right? So these are the things that I want my daughter to be role models after. Like, so I commend you for that, right?
Thank you.
And the thing is, like, it's hard to find mentors. Do you see that on your end?
Oh, 100%.
So kind of dive into that, because I don't think a lot of people understand that.
100%. Even while I was job hunting, because law school, I will tell you, does not prepare you for the real world. In law school, you're briefing, you're reading, you're writing, but they're not teaching you how to approach the bench, how to talk to the judge, how to actually formulate arguments and things of that nature. So you come out, and if you don't take mock trial or moot court in law school, you're like, whoa, where am I? So I was super interested in finding a lawyer that was willing to actually guide me and mentor me. And I'm not going to lie, it was hard.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Nobody has the time to do that.
Yeah.
And I recently actually talked about somebody that helped me through law school, but she was a student and she took time to guide me. She was ahead of me and she took the time to guide me. Her name is Melissa Lozano. Shout out to you, girl. And I think I graduated at the top of my class because of her. And so I have said that I will always now be that for somebody else.
Yeah.
So if you do follow me, you've seen that recently I've gone to lunch with a couple of girls who are wanting to go to law school. And I always advocate, if you want to go, if you have questions, you need anything, bring me your resume, bring me your application. I will help you, whatever you need.
Yeah.
I'm proud of one of my girls because she made it into law school.
Nice.
Helped her get her internship. And yeah, it's hard, but I think it's needed.
Yeah. Studied under a buddy of mine, Jesse De Leon. I had to ask him, like, hey, dude, let me just work for you for free. Like, I'll just work for you as long as I can learn stuff, right? And he was like, well, okay, yeah, come on in. So then, like, 3 months later, I was like, he's like, you need to get out and you need to go do your own thing. Because at that point, I was just getting comfortable learning as much as possible,
for
right?
Sure.
And the thing is, I think a lot of people get comfortable. Like, they just stay in that same spot over and over and over again and never take massive action. So that got me thinking, is like, fuck, I was sitting here for so long and I never took action. Like, the next part of doing it is the action
doing
part.
It.
Is it difficult being a young woman in this life right now, that the world we're living in is kind of, explain that, because I don't think a lot of people understand. It's like, I'm 42. How old are you?
I'm 32.
So you're at a different demographic, right? And also,
narrowly.
Yeah, no, it's a big spread. So 10 years is a big difference, but also you're a woman. So you view life different than a man, right?
For sure.
So how difficult is it being a 32-year-old woman in today's world?
Ooh, that's a good question. That's a really good question. And I feel like I could go off on that a lot. I will say, and this might get me some hate, I am not one of those hardcore feminists. Do I believe that women should have the equal right as a man, like in pay, in opportunities, in being heard? 100%. Do I think that our world is still not equal? 100%.
For sure.
So there was a firm that I worked at, and I really felt that. I would say they would ask, we would sit down, right? We would table conversations and I would give the answer. I'd say, you know, I think we should go this route. And I would be just voiceless, voiceless. I have an incredible, incredible friend who to this day is one of my best friends, who's also a lawyer. He's a male, and he would stick up for me. So that was incredible to have that. Because that day and that meeting I'll never forget, and he'll never forget, and we still talk about it. We talked about it yesterday. The bosses were like, we're going to call this expert and see what he thinks. And they put him on speaker, and I'm sitting there listening to verbatim
what you said,
what I had just said. But I didn't have the courage to say something.
Mm-hmm.
But my male male, you know, who was in the same position as me, did. And he was like, y'all know she just said that.
Yeah.
And that to me was powerful for him to do that. And I think we also need more of that, more males giving us our space, giving us our power and our presence.
Yeah. And to speak on that too, I feel like a lot of people just, for one, they don't have conversations like ever. I know so many people are just going through life, just going. They never stop and have an actual conversation. Like this right here is a skill. Like they're soft skills, but they're necessary skills.
Yes.
And I feel like a lot of people just don't have that. And I feel like it's a skill that young people need to understand. Like, this is what helps you get ahead. This is the shaking of the hands, the hugging, like you walk in, eye contact, stuff like that. Like, do you feel that?
100%. And as a woman, I feel the need to shake. You got to have a firm handshake, girls. Do not let them, you know, wimp you out of it. Don't be scared. Direct eye contact. And you firmly shake that hand and you let them know that you're there and you're a boss.
So what other skills does somebody need in today's world?
As a woman?
Yes. Oh, and just in general.
I think courage is a big one. You have to be brave. Go after your dreams. Dreams can be really, really scary, but don't just let them stay dreams. Go after them. Chase them however you can. Find a mentor, like you said. Find someone to shadow. I think that it is so courageous of these girls that reach out to me. That to me is courage. Some of them are 18, you know, still in college saying, hey, how do I get ahead of the game? How do I do this? Can you help me? That to me is courage.
Yeah, for sure.
And I actually didn't have that as a kid. I was shy. I danced my whole life. So you put me on a stage and I had presence. I could act, but I was shy. My mom would always tell me like, dale gas.
Yeah.
But I actually think that they're the younger generation. My sister is a powerhouse, a powerhouse. She reaches out. She has interned for Vicente Gonzalez since she was a senior in high school in Washington.
Wow.
And she's like, I'm going to find it and I'm going to go and I don't need your help and I don't want your help.
Do you think a lot of people are like that?
You know, I don't know.
I would say no.
You think no?
I would say no because I feel like a lot of people are scared of the no. They're scared of the ask. Like the worst thing that's going to happen is they're going to say no. Like I've had to get over that mentality. Is like I'm going to ask. I've been told like 1,000 no's, right?
Yeah.
But you get your answer. Like that's the most important part. Is like you need that answer so you're not just sitting there stuck. Like
for sure.
Did it mean yes? No? I don't know.
But I think that the appropriate thing to when you get a no is to ask why. That way you learn from the no.
For sure.
And you learn how to improve so that the next time, maybe it's not a no.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people are ready for that answer.
See, and I do that. That is one thing. I want to learn. You don't appreciate something I did or, you know, I did this wrong. Explain to me. Like, I want to
fix it. Where do you think
it.
You got that from?
My mom.
Yeah.
My mom. She was a powerhouse. I'm going to cry. I'm going to cry on the podcast. Yeah, she, I don't know if you ever got to meet her. I know she knows your family
really
well.
I know she was a beloved
well.
Member of the community, yeah.
But yeah, she was a powerhouse and she taught me a lot. She is still to this day and will forever be my role model. And if I can be half the woman that she was, I think I'll be okay. She spread magic everywhere and I call it Lulu magic. Not because of me. Because her name was Lulu, but
in a way she did because now you're here to spread that same magic.
That's my
everywhere.
Goal. Yeah, that's my goal.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about goals. I feel like a lot of people don't have goals, and when I talk about goal setting, people are like, "Oh, that's stupid! Like you're writing down your goals. Like that's so dumb." But honestly, like since I started implementing a list of goals, I have the main goals, right, and I have my daily list of stuff to do. Like that has literally changed my life. Do you see that on your end? What is it about goals that people are like, that's dumb?
I have no idea. I can't speak for them, but I think goals are incredible and I love checklists. That is my favorite thing. I just did a TikTok video on it. I love being able to do this.
Scratched up.
Yeah. And like I said, I'm not tech savvy. So I know some people probably put their to-do list on, you know, their phone or on the computer. No. I like the feeling of actually I did that. Check. So I love that. I think goals are super important, extremely important. I believe in manifestation. I believe that if you believe you can do something, it helps. Versus if you feel like you're not going to be able to accomplish it, you're already setting yourself up for failure. The first person that needs to believe in you is you.
Right.
Because then how am I going to believe in you if you don't even believe in you?
Do you think that's taught or do you think somebody, like anybody can learn it?
I think anybody can learn it.
How?
Reading. There's a bunch of books, self-help books, watching other people, watching podcasts of people that people admire, people that people want to achieve what they're doing. I follow a ton of attorneys, female attorneys that I admire. And I like to see you know, maybe they're not my full-on mentors, but in a way, they mentor me through their social media or their podcast. Mm-hmm. So I think you can learn it. I think you can figure out there's always a way to learn and grow. Always.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right, because I struggle with the same things. Like I get a lot of different mentors from different spaces, like a business entrepreneur, crypto, whatever like that, right? But at one point I like that physical, like being in front of somebody to learn from them, like hands-on. And I understand that, you know, they're busy. So I literally had to create my own mentors with ChatGPT. So on ChatGPT, you can create your own GPTs.
Cool.
So I took the best mentors and separated them all, have like five different GPTs that are all mentors of mine that I go in there every single day and I ask information, I gather research and stuff like that.
Wait, that
and
is incredible.
It's crazy like where AI is going. Do you use AI?
I don't, I'm not tech savvy.
Oh, you're not tech savvy, that's right.
So no, but that's incredible. And I know a lot of lawyers are using it now, but I'm not tech, I can't even fix a printer. Don't ask me how to do that. So yeah, no, I don't. But that's incredible that you do that. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. It takes drive. You can accomplish anything if you have the drive to accomplish it.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people just give up right then and there. Say, well, I can't find a mentor. Okay, I'm just going to sit here and do nothing.
I was terrified of opening up on my own. Terrified. And it was during COVID. So I was building my project, which is my office, during COVID. And thankfully, my mom... I had her there as somebody who was encouraging. And every time I doubted myself, she believed in me. And I think that's important.
For sure.
To have a tribe, to have a community of people that believe in you is super important. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was terrified. I'm still terrified sometimes. I'm like, oh my goodness, I did this. But I did it and I'm proud of myself. And whether it goes the way that I want it to or not, it's a learning experience at the end of the day. And that's all that matters. You live and you learn and you grow.
Yeah, because I feel like there's, you have a finite amount of time left on this world. So what you're going to do with the time that you have left, you know, you obviously have to do something good, because then what's the point? Like, what are you here for? Like, I think at the end of the day, is a lot of people are scared. For one, I feel like a lot of people don't have friends. Do you see that?
Sometimes, yes. So because now everything is social.
Social, yeah.
And I've even heard people say, I feel like my friends are other TikTokers that I don't even talk to. I just watch their videos and they're my friend. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I wouldn't survive.
I'm creating my mentors on ChatGPT. So,
true. But you have support. You have family, you know? Yeah. You have somebody.
Yeah, I feel like some people don't, though. Like a lot of people, like for one of the things, like I feel the older you get, you have to have more coping mechanisms in life, right? And working out and lifting weights is that for me, right? So I get to get away. I get to release that stress. Do you see the same thing on your end?
100%.
So what's your coping mechanism?
So I love Tribe Cycle. It's a cycling studio here in McAllen. It's called Tribe for a reason. I think it's incredibly difficult to make friends as adults, new friends. Incredibly difficult. Even in McAllen, which is so small, you would think like easy peasy, everybody knows each other because most of us know each other or have some sort of connection with one another. But I love that community because you don't just go work out, you go work out. It's also therapeutic what they're telling you during the workout. And then you get to hang out outside. They're always having, if it's somebody's birthday, we have a birthday.
Nice.
And we're all talking. I've made incredible friends just there from all different walks of life. So yeah, I think it's important to have hobbies, do something, get out there. I like to network. So if I hear that there's an event going on, I'll go and I'll just start shaking hands. Hi, I'm Lulu. Who are you?
Yeah. I feel like most people won't do that.
Yeah,
why? So explain that.
Nervous.
What is it about that they just won't go up and shake people's hands?
I think they're just nervous. And I think you have to, like I said, I was like that. And
how did you get over it?
Acting. Hmm. I'm not going to lie. I would prepare myself right before I would enter an event, because when I started my law firm, I would go to these events alone. I knew I had to market myself. I knew I had to get out and meet people, and I would go alone. I would sit in the car right before and I'd take some deep breaths and I'd be like, you got this. Let's go. Fake it till you make it. I would just... let's go on in, let's shake some hands.
I don't think you were really fake it too, because I've heard that, and I said that same thing too. It's like fake it till you make it, but at some point you really have to have skills. And you have to know what you're doing, because I'm 100% sure that you are competent in your business.
Yes.
So I feel like a lot of people they don't have a skill level that they necessarily need to be able to go out there with confidence.
But I think you can just, you don't even have to talk business. So like I would go to like lawyer networking events, but it would just be like, hey, I'm Lulu. How are you? What field are you in? Mm-hmm. Cool. Like, what do you like to do for fun? So it wasn't even about talking business. It was about just making that connection, learning what type of field they were in. And then in the future, you have a friend. And if I don't work in that field, I can call them up and be like, hey,
I know someone.
Do you want to take this case? Like, I don't do it, but I heard Joe Schmo does.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even like we're sitting there talking. Who wants to talk business all day long? You know what I mean? You don't want to. You want to go to these events, especially as a lawyer, to relax and make friends. So I think that needs to be taken away. The idea that you're going to these events to talk about business.
Yeah.
You don't really have to do that. You can talk about what you do, but you don't just have to talk about that.
I got you. Okay. So how does a 32-year-old?
32.
How does a 32-year-old view time?
Una viejita.
How does a 32-year-old view time? Like the time you have left.
It's changed since my mom passed. Life is way too short, way too valuable. You got to get out there. So my mom had cancer. She was diagnosed at 28 years old, very, very young. Battled for 23 years. Battled like a, can I say fregona? Is that allowed?
Yeah, yeah.
man, she was a warrior. Did a ton of clinical trials. She didn't care. She just wanted to be here. She wanted to see us grow up. She wanted to see us reach our goals. That was her main thing. Reach her goals. She was always telling us. I wanted to take a year off to stay with her before applying to law school. She signed me up for the LSAT and was like, you're going to take the LSAT. When she passed, though, my whole perspective on life changed. That's when I think I started. I feel like I have a message to share now more than ever. And that's when I feel like I started posting and more on social media, on TikTok, sharing my story, not just the good. I'm trying to really show people that everybody has hardships. So you may look at my profile and think what you said at the beginning, you know,
life together,
great life,
success. Yeah.
But it's not true. Yeah. Everybody has hardships.
Sure.
And so I'm really, really trying to push that message that things are attainable and you can survive hard things, but no life is perfect. But time is so valuable. So spend it with the people that you love. Please hug your parents, hug your mom, call them. I miss talking to her on the phone. We talked on the phone every single day and I saw her every single day, except for when I was in law school. So time to me now is more valuable than ever. I spend a lot of time with my family, a lot of time. And I spend it doing the things that I love. I try to avoid I don't like drama. I don't like mean people. I don't like negativity. So I steer clear of that. And I try to just shoot for the stars. That's what she wanted for me. And I'm gonna live my life, not just for me, but in her honor. And I'm going to do what I believe she thought that I could achieve. And that's how I view life now. I'm going to do my best to be the kindest and to spread her magic, Lulu magic, to everybody that I can.
Let's talk about goals again, because I feel like a lot of people don't have goals. And purpose. Like, how does one find purpose?
How does one find purpose, man? Everybody's so different. I can talk about how I found purpose. And I think it goes back to the same thing. It goes back to having a family and back to my roots, back to, I went to Our Lady of Sorrows, who are incredible. I love them all to this day, all the teachers, all the staff. I still talk to some of them. I still go to church there. But I think it goes back to your roots and what you learn. And, I found my purpose through that, through having faith and being brought up to be an empathetic person. I have a massive heart, I can say that, humble brag. Too big of a heart, I think. that gets me in trouble sometimes because I overgive, but I feel like that's how I found my purpose, my heart and my roots. And I want to be in the legal field, not for the money, not for any of that, but to bring goodness into our world and into our system. So everybody says, oh, personal injury is so saturated, you're in it for the money. I cry with my clients. You become part of who I am. You become my family. And I literally have cried with my clients. I do it because of that, because I see the unfairness and the unjust that they suffer sometimes, and I want to help them. That is what I strive to do and why I felt passionate to do this job.
Yeah, because you're in a position to do that, right? Like, obviously, you have the empathy, the skill set, and also the youth to be able to attack that, because I feel like a lot of people just sometimes just give up. Like, the world is like, okay, I give up. Like, forget this. Like, I'm just going to, at the mercy of the world, just take me, whatever. But I feel like a lot of people need people like this. Like, that they need a beacon of hope to be able to be like, well, that person's doing it. Maybe I can do that too. Like, they need somebody to attach on. I don't think a lot of people really understand that. It's like, it's okay to reach out to people. It's okay to, like, hey, dude, like, send me a message or whatever.
Please,
like,
reach out to me if you have questions. Please. I post about it all the time on my page, Legally Lulu. If you're not following, following. I post about it all the time. And, you know, on the topic of empathy, I met with one of these mentees, because now I'm calling them my mentees, and I will forever be a part of their life, and I want to see them succeed. She was really discouraged because she met with a male attorney before she met with me. And he told her, you have too big of a heart to be in this job. I don't think you can hack it. You have too much empathy. And my jaw, when she said that, literally hit the table, because I was like, excuse me? I think in order to be a good attorney, you need empathy.
100%.
I think the old school mentality was, I'm in it to win. It's not about my client, it's about my name and me winning. But if your client doesn't feel like they're winning, you're not really winning.
Right.
You have to be empathetic to what your client wants. Not your goals, it's your client's goals. So I think if you want to be a lawyer, having empathy is huge. Don't give up. It doesn't mean you can't be a good lawyer. You can still have fight and you can still have empathy.
And you're right, because people like to do business with people they know, like, and trust, right? But you also got to be, of course, competent. So I think being empathetic in any business, because this is what I tell business owners all the time, is like, if you're a small business, chances are they're going to be doing business with you one-on-one. So, I mean, you're selling your product. Why would you not want to be the person that's shaking the hand, having the conversation? Because nobody knows your business better than you. And I always experience that when I come on with the marketing or advertising. It's like, well, you're just going to handle it all, right? I was like, no, that's not how this works. Like, this is a team effort, because if we don't do it together, I don't know anything about your business. Yeah. You can teach me, I can learn about it, but I haven't been on the ground since, like, day one. You know all the little tiny intricacies of your business that make it your business. I can come and help you sell it, but at the end of the day, you're the best salesperson for your business. So I feel like a lot of people, especially business owners, need to be the face of their business. And I don't think a lot of people understand that. Can you kind of touch on that?
You were literally speaking my language.
So why did you decide to jump in front of the camera going to social media now?
You are speaking my language. I don't just do that. I meet with every single client that walks through the door. The first person that they're going to meet is me, which is most of the time unheard of. Most of the time, clients are walking in for their initial consultation with a paralegal. I don't work like that. I had a mentor who taught me that. And the first person you are going to sit with in my office is me. I'm going to ensure that you feel comfortable, that you know who you're hiring, mm-hmm. and that you know where my heart is and what my goals are for you and your case. I can't promise you anything, but you're going to meet me.
Right.
You're not going to meet my staff. You're going to meet me directly. So I think that is what you just said is extremely important.
For sure.
What else did you say? You said a lot that I was just like, well, yes, that's spot on.
I feel like a lot of people can't or won't want to come out in front of the camera. Like, they literally put a camera in front of their face and they freeze. So how did you get over that? Or did you just natural?
Honestly, I think my dance experience. I danced all the way up until I was from 2 to 23. And I wanted to be a professional. Mom said no. She said, go get a degree first. So I did. But I think that helps a lot. I love being on camera. The other thing that you were saying that I think is really important about branding, you literally hit it spot on. When I was looking for my team, I wanted a team that was going to market me for who I was, not for what they wanted me to be, not for anything. I wanted to showcase me as a human. And I'm so lucky to have found the people that I found because that's what they do. And when they give me ideas, they know, like, this one might not be like you. And I'm like, scratch that. But they never forced me to do anything that is uncomfortable for me. We sat, we had a whole discussion. Brands that I liked, what I liked, who I was as a person, what I like to do. They literally interviewed me before we started the whole process. Yeah. And it became about me, and it's a team effort. Everything is a team effort. I come up with my own ideas. They come up with some. We fix them. We change them, etc. That's super important. Yeah. And I think if you're afraid to be on camera, you learn. When I have to give a speech, I practice in front of the mirror. I talk to myself. I start off practicing in front of the mirror like a crazy person, and I just like talk. And then I talk in the shower. I'll be taking a shower, practicing my speech. And then I'll have my family or somebody sit down, because it gets scarier once there's somebody in front of you.
Yeah, for sure.
So then I'll have somebody sit in front of me, and we'll do it again. And you just practice like that. Practice makes perfect. And if you're not good at something, practice, because you'll become good at it.
Yeah, you just do it over and over and over again. And at some point, it's inconceivable to say that you're not going to be good at it. Like, if you do it all the time over and over and over again. Like, I remember I have a lot of conversations with clients that they do not want to come out on camera. I was like, at this point, this is the least amount of people that are going to see you. So let's push out the content, because a lot of people just stay in, like, they will hold on to content and never push it out. And at some point, you have to push it out, because at the end of the day, nobody really cares. Like, it's just going to be content that's going over and over and over. You just got to get out of your own way.
All publicity is publicity, whether it's good or it's bad.
For sure.
Like, if people are making fun of your content, I have some content, because you can see, right, when people are DMing it to each other. Uh-huh. And some of the cheesy ones, right, it'll have like 27. And sometimes I'm like, geez, people are so mean. But then other times I'm like, but you're spreading my message. Sure. You're spreading my face. So thank you at the same time. Like, even if you're being mean, thank you, because you have now, somebody that you might have sent it to didn't know who I was before, and now they do. And maybe that's a negative mindset on my end. Maybe they like it and they're sharing it because they like it, or they like something in it. But sometimes I get in my head about stuff like that.
I think everybody does. I think a lot of times business owners just they won't do anything because they're just paralyzed by what other people think. But at the end of the day, it's like, you have a business, you need it to survive.
Yes.
So you literally have to be the person that's going to go out there with your flyers and hand them to every single person and shake their hands, because if you don't do it, like,
who is?
I mean, you can pay somebody to do it, but then at the end of the day, it's like, you are in charge. This is your little baby. Like, this is your baby. Your business is your baby. And it's a tremendous thing to have a business, first of all, because it's a blessing, because you learned how to make money on your own. You learned how to be able to provide a service or a product or whatever that's going back out into the world, being able to help people. Like, at the end of the day, you need to help people. And one of the most staggering things that I've heard is 10 to 12 million businesses will close every single year. And I bring this up often, because every single year, 10 to 12 That's million businesses are going That's to close. What advice can you give business owners that will help them, like, just get out of their own way and move forward?
I think learn from everything, as I keep saying. That's like my main message, is learn, learn. If you fail, don't take it as a failure. Take it as something that you can grow from. The next time, you're going to do it better. You're going to do it. You're going to succeed. You're going to advance every single time. Everybody told me when I started, 3 years. The hardest years are your first 3 years. Survive the first 3 years and you're good. And I'm on year 3.
Nice. Congratulations.
So we survived. And I'm not going to lie, the first year was incredibly difficult. Incredibly difficult. It was hard. But I kept pushing, and I kept pushing my name out there. And I kept going to events and networkings, and I joined clubs, and I joined boards, and I looked for ways to put my name out there. And now we're here.
Pushing forward.
Yeah.
Let's talk about social media, because I feel like in the world of social media, where everyone has a voice, it's not necessarily a good thing, bad thing. How do you view that? Like, is it a good thing that everybody has a voice?
I think so. I think everybody has the right to have a voice. I think what I don't like is the bullying, especially from faceless people. And it's funny that we're talking about it today, because I got one today. And it was just, you know, I was on my TikTok. It wasn't even legal. I was on my TikTok showing an outfit that I won in a raffle. Was Lululemon, and somebody was like, "Oh, you're a racist."
Wow.
I'm like, "Who? You don't even know who I am, sir. How do you just jump to that conclusion? Like, that's just mean, and you're faceless, and there's nothing to you." And normally I would have avoided it, but I actually followed up and I stitched his comment, and I said, "You know, there's a proactive way of teaching people things. This is not proactive. You have stereotyped me now, and you have bullied me. You could have easily been like, hey, girl, you know, I don't know if you know this, but, you know, Lululemon is known to XYZ, because I have no idea what the drama is with it. So I was like, you could have educated me, and I would have listened, and I would have had a conversation with you about it. But instead, you chose violence. Like, you chose at 7 o'clock in the morning to just be mean. And you don't know what I'm going through, and you don't know me as a person, and you don't know if that comment could have taken me over the edge. You don't know anything about me." So I just think sometimes that's what I don't like about social media, is that people are just, why are people so mean?
Yeah, and TikTok opens up the world to you. Like, YouTube, Facebook and Instagram, they're relatively nice, you know. Once you go to YouTube, like, people, they go in there and blaring everything. Like, it's insane how people hide behind the computer.
Yeah,
it's
faceless. They're always faceless. Yeah. Always faceless, I think. Like, the bullies that I see, they're always, there's no picture, there's no real name. And I'm like, why?
They're out to wreak havoc on the internet. Yeah, but why? 24/7.
Why is that fun for you?
It's an interesting thing. I feel like if somebody took the time out of their day to blast you or whatever, it's like, that says a lot more about them than it does about you as
exactly.
a person.
Exactly. Yeah. And I do believe in conversations like that. Like, I would have listened. I would have been like, that makes sense. Or, I'm sorry that you feel like that. You know, when, I don't know, I'm going to get too deep into all of that stuff, but I would have had a conversation, a kind one. And I wish he would have given me the opportunity to do that before he just went out and attacked.
I feel like it's a lot harder for a woman to navigate social media than it is for a man. Cause I think most men are just like, yeah, whatever, fine. But for a woman, it's like, you know, you take those things personal. So let me backtrack. I'm not just saying just for men and women, right? But I feel like a lot of men can't control their feelings, for one. And I don't know if it's the world that we're living in or what upbringing, whatever it is. But I feel like, for one, men don't have mentors. A lot of them don't have friends. A lot of them are already stacked against all odds, right? So I feel like a lot of them won't get up and do the things that they need to do regardless of their feelings. Do you feel that? Do you see that? Any truth to that?
I see from my friendships with men, obviously I can't speak on what they feel. I hate doing that. But from what I see, I always like to say that. I think the difference between us is that we have friends as females. Not that you guys don't have friends, but example, a breakup. I get to go and I vent and I cry and I sit with my friends and I let it all out. Whereas men were taught, oh, you don't do that.
Right.
You don't cry. So you internalize, you hold it in, you turn it into maybe hate, which is what I've learned through therapy that happens in a breakup, because I just went through one. You guys don't have that same
escape.
to speak on your feelings. And I think that makes a difference, because I think speaking on how you feel is so important. Communication is key to everything.
Yeah.
Good communication.
And you're right, because I feel like also like a lot of men keep it in them. They'll keep it in them for so long. It just builds up. And then one day something triggers them. And then that's where the things happen. That's why I feel like it's very important for men to be able to have their feelings under control, because I am a man. Right.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I know what men are capable of. I know what any human being is capable
for sure.
of. Right. So I just feel like a lot of people are lost. A lot of people are depressed. A lot of people don't want to do the things that they used to do. It's like they don't have a good outlook in life. And we're over here trying to spread, you know, positivity. And then people are like, whatever, that's stupid. Like, I think that goes to show, it's like you have to inspire people first, because when I started working out, I lost a bunch of weight. I was like, you got to do this. And everybody's like, shut up. Like, we don't want to hear that. So I found that you literally have to inspire people first with your actions. And then they'll be like, oh, if that guy can do it,
yes,
then I can. Any truth to that?
100%. So as I said, losing my mom, I didn't stop social media completely, but I stopped doing it as much as I wanted to. I stopped doing the extra stuff. So I let my marketers, I would market those videos. They're always pushing me to do more, right? Show your face, show what you do at work, show behind the scenes, do more. And I fell into depression, right? Losing your mom is a crazy thing. I believe in therapy. I go to therapy. I'm a huge mental health advocate.
What is it about the word therapy and going to therapy that people, I guess, think it's bad?
The stigma down here.
Let's talk about that.
The older generations.
Let's talk about that, because I think that's an important thing, because I feel like a lot of times I have to play like the devil's advocate, right? And a lot of times, like, I'm saying things that people only say, like, behind closed doors, right? And I feel like they're important conversations, because nobody's talking about this stuff. Like nobody's talking about mental health. Nobody's really having a real conversation about how a 32-year-old woman feels in the world that we're living in.
Yeah.
Like, the things that I go through, too, as a man, as
for
a married
sure.
man, like, as a husband, you know, as a father. Like, nobody talks about that stuff. So I kind of want to, like, let's talk
well,
about that.
If you watch my TikTok, I talk about it a lot. I cry on there a lot. And I try to show, I try to showcase that side a lot on my TikTok. I do the fun stuff also. And I showcase, I'm trying to be real on my TikTok, as real as I can be. So I do the fun stuff. I dance, I sing, whatever, but I just celebrated 100 rides at Tribe and I was ecstatic. That was a milestone to me. And 2024 was the year I decided, big or small, my milestones were going to be celebrated. So I posted a video on TikTok, you know, jumping up and down, like, I'm hitting 100, man, almost crying. And I think I posted like 4 videos about that day, because to me, that was a win. It was the hardest year of my life. And I showed up for myself 100 times during the hardest year of my life. I did that. And if you watch my TikTok, after all the happy ones, I'm back home and I'm eating. And I like to eat with my mom sometimes, which means I'm eating with a picture of her. And I cry. And I tell you guys the waves of grief and how even on my good days, there's still sadness. So I try to showcase that realness. And that is what I'm trying to bring into the world. If that makes any sense. I'm rambling. I tend to ramble.
It really does make sense, because I feel like people talk about like how time heals all things, and I think it just kind of deepens the emotions and feelings. So at some point you do really have to kind of get your emotions under control.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you can't feel them, right?
Yeah.
Because you're
human. Oh, no, you should feel them.
Yeah, absolutely.
My therapist always tells me you need to cry it out, which I never knew. So some people, I don't know if you all do this, when I'm sad, I play sad music and I make myself cry. And I always thought like, oh my gosh, estás bien loca. ¿Quién hace esto? You're like literally forcing yourself to cry.
Yeah, but and you get it out.
My therapist was like, no, that is so, so, so necessary. You need to do that. That is actually, you're being proactive to your mental health. You're releasing everything that you're keeping inside of you.
Yeah.
So do that. But speaking on that, that has been impactful to other people. I have had so many people message me telling me, thank you. And the reason that I started doing it was because when my mom was passing, we knew she was going to pass for 6 months. And so I didn't know that the term was anticipatory grief, but I was grieving her before she had passed. My whole family was. And I was on Grief Talk, and I have other friends here in the Valley that have lost their moms, unfortunately, who would post about it, about their journey. And they were so inspiring to me. And they showed me that I would be able to survive it, because I was so scared that losing her would mean I was going to go into a black hole. She was my very best friend, very best friend. So I was like, I'm not going to survive this. I'm not. And those people watching those videos inspired me. And so now my journey is to try to do the same for somebody else. I want to tell you that it's survivable. The hardest thing you're going through, don't give up, because even though it feels in this moment unsurvivable, you will survive it. And especially if it's the loss of somebody, you'll survive it in their honor, because they would want you to. And that's a message that I like to, that's my message to the world right now, is keep going. And if you're going through something hard and you need help, there is no more stigma. Get rid of the stigma behind going to therapy. It's so beneficial.
Let's talk about the old crab mentality of the Rio Grande Valley. Have you heard of that?
No.
So the crab mentality is that you get crabs in a bucket and the crabs are trying to crawl up and the other crabs are pulling them down. There's a whole mentality about that for the Rio Grande Valley. And I've experienced this many times, because what in my line of business is digital marketing, right? And a lot of people are like, well, forget the Valley. Like, go out of the Valley. You'll do so much more. But I was like, well, the Valley is where I live. The Valley is where I have all my friends. Community. Like, it's my community.
For sure.
Like, why would I turn my back on my community? And it's an interesting thing how people kind of like will try to tell you these things, and they'll tell you over and over and over again. But at the end of the day, it's just like you have to stick your flagpole in the ground. It's like, this is where I'm going to be. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to plant my seeds here. This is where I'm going to grow. Right. And of course, with the internet, you can go anywhere. Right.
Yeah.
But I feel like the crab mentality in the Valley is you're always going to have somebody to say, you can't do that, or you're never going to do it. Or there's always that negative thing. How do you combat that?
You know, to be honest, I am surrounded by such positive and beautiful people that I have never been told that.
Wow.
Like I said, I don't like negativity. I don't, I have a huge heart, and I will forgive, and I'll be there for you for whatever you need, whenever you need. But if you're not bringing something positive into my life,
yeah, you won't be around.
I don't need that. And I'll be there for you. But why do I want you in my circle if you don't believe in me? Especially if I'm already having a hard time believing in myself.
Yeah.
So I steer away from that. If you want to be a negative person, I don't like it. If you want to talk down on other people, I don't like it. Yeah, I have a close group of friends. We're tight-knit, beautiful humans, all from different walks of life, all with their own struggles, and have turned it into beautiful success stories that I admire. And I try to surround myself with people that I admire and that I love and that I know love me and that support me.
Yeah. No, and you're right, because I feel like a lot of times too, I don't allow negativity into my life. Like, I meet a ton of people. Like, I shake a lot of people's hands. And if I get that one negative vibe from you, I'll probably never meet you again. I'll never have another conversation with you again. I think a lot of people think like I'm an asshole or I'm a dick because I'm doing that. But honestly, like, I'm safeguarding.
You got to protect yourself.
You have to protect yourself, because nobody's going to come into your life and hold you by the hand and say, hey, let's go do this stuff. Get up for work today, whatever. It's like, I feel like you have to safeguard your self-interest. And a lot of people say, well, that's selfish. But I feel like it's selfless, because if you allow yourself to have a positive outlook on life, you get to give a positive. Do you see any?
100%.
So kind of touch on it.
100%.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The power of positivity.
Incredible. What more could you want? What more could you want? How could you survive without positivity? Why do you want to just have a negative cloud floating over you all day long? Life is so hard already. Mm-hmm. You don't need that. And the difference is, for me, I'll be nice to you. If I think you're a negative person, or if you've been mean to me or whatever, I'll be nice to you. I've had plenty of people who have done really cruel things to me who years later, you know, apologize and look back and tell me, you know, X, Y, Z. And this is very, very true. It's happened a lot. And I give them the opportunity. I'll sit down with you. I'll talk to you. I'll forgive you. But I don't forget it. Right. So I give people the opportunity because I believe people can change. I do believe that. But you have to prove that to me. I'm not just going to be like, ah, we're best friends again. Like, hi, what's up? No, you have to prove to me that you are different. You are grown and you're a different human now. And yeah, for sure. Let's sit down. Let's talk. Let's meet up. So that's how I view it, but I don't like negativity.
Yeah. Let's, before we finish off the podcast, I know I asked you this before, for a young person coming up into the world, that's going to college, that's about to graduate, or just anyone, right? That's just going into life. What do you think are the top three skills that they need to be able to go out into the world, combat the world and say, here I am?
Wow. You ask really hard-hitting questions. Ay, ay, ay. I think a tribe is very important. A support system. You need a support system. You need a group of people that believe in you. I have always said that. I wouldn't have survived law school without my tribe. And when I graduated, I had a dinner and I thanked every single person that was a part of my tribe. Whether you sent me DMs on Facebook or Si Se Puede or whatever it was, you helped me. So you need a tribe, a good one. Mm-hmm. You need to believe in yourself and surround yourself with people that believe in you. And you gotta entrarle con ganas. I tell that to everybody. Échale ganas. Si te dicen que no, one closed door doesn't mean all doors will be closed. Another one will open. And I believe in God 100% and truly, 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 truly. And I believe that the doors he closes for you are for a reason. And you might not see it in that moment, but down the line, you'll be like, ah.
That's why.
Por eso no sucedió así. Yeah. That's why that didn't happen the way it should have. I truly believe in that. And that has happened to me countless times.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, 100%. So before we finish out the podcast, let everybody know how they can find you.
So you can find me on Instagram. My personal one is Lulu Gabby. It's public because your girl's trying to be an influencer as well as a lawyer. Legally Lulu on Instagram. That's my handle for my law firm. We're at the Vela Law Group. Our phone number for the Vela Law Group is 956-474-VELA, which is 8352. And on TikTok under Lulu Gabby. So those are the ways that you can find me. Please, 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 if you have any type of questions related to the legal field, related to grief, related to anything that I can help with, I promise you that I will try my best to give you the best advice that I can. And if I'm not the right person to give you the advice, I will send you to a person that I think is. And I tell that to everybody when somebody messages me, because usually the first message I get is, hey, I need help. Can you, or hey, I need a favor. And I'm always like, I will do my best.
Yeah.
Know that. But if I can't, because I don't know what's coming next, if I cannot do it, I will lead you in the direction that I think you need to go in. So please feel free to contact me. I'm not scary.
All right, guys, we shall see you next time on The Sesh. Peace.